Today's guest on the podcast is Corb Lund. Corb is actually from Canada. He plays a lot of Texas dates, national dates, international dates. He took a lot of his work ethic from cattle ranches in Canada into the music business. We'll talk about his new album and then even a little history on his family and a great story about his great-grandfather. That's all coming up. Let's go. Cheers, everyone. Welcome to the Texas Toast Podcast. I'm excited. We've got a guest. I want to welcome Corb Lund. Did I say your name right?
You did.
We got to get that right. First of all, welcome. You have brought us some exciting music to our charts here in Texas. Your current radio release, I Had It All, was released. And I was reading through it. As I read your bio and the backstory on the song, it's like all I could think was Wild West and like rugged. And then you listen to your album and it's just so organic and so pure. So let's talk about your background and how you got into music.
Okay. Both sides of my family were ranchers in Utah in the 1800s, and they moved up to Alberta around the turn of the century. So I grew up that way around cattle and rodeo and stuff. And then when I was about 14 or 15, I got into Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden, and started playing music in a metal band in my 20s. And then I quite shortly figured out that I could play in all the Marty Robbins songs that I grew up with. So I started writing Western music pretty early on. But because I was in sort of an unusual underground rock music scene where they kind of encourage you to do your own thing and find your own sound, I think I kind of brought that over to my Western music. So if there's any quirkiness in it, that's probably why.
Yes, really. The whole album is loaded with some great songs. I want to talk about some more of those coming up. But I was really impressed with, you're kind of like the, for a while, you did everything. You recorded in your basement. You did your own t-shirts. You did everything in the music business. And I guess that work ethic also came from being on the ranch and being in a rural area.
Yeah, I think country kids do that. Like, you learn to do everything yourself, kind of half-assed, right?
So, right.
I mean, my approach to the music business was always with the assumption that I wouldn't get any help. So I just learned to do it. I was my own publicist and my own booking agent and everything. I had an alter ego so that I could say, oh, Corb's great. You're going to love him.
I mean,
you learn to do everything on your own. And it's kind of good because then when you do actually build an audience, and then the music business comes to you and will help you, and you sort of know how it works. So, but I've always been on the fringe, which I'm comfortable with. I like being the fringe guy.
I like that, the fringe guy. Let's talk about your connection to Texas. And you have a really cool song on your album that was Fort Worth Worth It. So have you spent a lot of time in Texas? Have you been around our music scene and our industry here?
Yeah, very much, for years and years. The first guy that I moved to Austin when I was just a kid, just because it was a legendary songwriting spot. And then I met Hayes Carl years and years and years ago up in Canada at a festival. And we've become really good friends. Mm. Yeah. Hayes is sort of the guy that introduced me to the Texas country scene, music scene. And since then, I've played a ton in Texas and got a lot of friends down there. Another friend of Hayes is named John Evans from Houston. He's produced a couple of my records. And I don't know, a lot of the Okie guys too, lots of friends down there.
Yes. And you do have some dates coming up April down here in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think New Braunfels and Copeland and then what, Lubbock. Is it Lubbock? That's quite a jump, mm-hmm. huh?
Right, it is. You'll be doing a little bit of traveling. Well, that's exciting. So what made you decide to release to Texas radio?
Well, like I said, the Texas scene was sort of the first place that really embraced me in the States. And I've been playing in Canada forever, but we have a pretty strong connection with that world down there. So it felt like a natural thing to do. I've done a lot of Texas radio tours too.
So, okay. Well, you're already in the mix and your single's doing good. And let's talk about your album and the tribute that you have on the album.
Yeah, the record's called El Viejo, which some of you Texans will know means old man, the old man or the old guy. And that was our nickname for me and Tyson, who's a cowboy songwriter from Canada who just passed away last year. He was about 88, and he was a very good friend of the band and personal friend of mine. And he wrote Navajo Rug. That's probably the one that people in Texas would know best that Jerry Jeff recorded. He and Tom Russell wrote that. He also wrote a song called Someday Soon and Four Strong Winds. But he was a good friend anyway, and a mentor to the band. So we dedicated the record to him. And that song, the title track, is actually about missing him, sort of about losing somebody.
Yes, that was one that I had made a note of for definitely for us to talk about. And it's good job on that one.
Thanks. You know, you mentioned this earlier, Helen, but we recorded the record in a really, in a very organic way this time. Like, especially these days, you can make records with computers and lots of layers and you can fix things. And we didn't do any of that. We just, the four of us just sat down in a circle in my living room and put the microphones up and hit record basically, which is pretty neat. Cause I'm getting to the point in my career after, this is my 10th record, I think, or 11th. And I don't really like shiny big records anymore. I like records with warts on them and like where you can hear the humanity. I like that.
Yes.
So we kept it real raw and real organic. And I think that suits my songwriting style because I do a lot of storytelling kind of songs. Yes. And I think the less computer crap between the singer and the audience, the better. So we just did it really, really raw. And I like that.
I like that. Yeah. And it's so reflective in the final product of the album. It's a good one. And so I made mention of was Fort Worth Worth It. Let's talk about your thinking behind that song and sitting down to write.
I have a friend named Jada Dreyer. She's from, she grew up in Texas. She's from Canada actually, but she's in high powered horse, show horse world, but she's a quite an accomplished songwriter. She and I are good friends. We've written a bunch of stuff together. I don't co-write very much. It makes me uncomfortable, especially with people I don't know, but she and I are good friends. And she had that idea and we just kind of bounced it back and forth a little bit. And then I fleshed it out and then she fleshed it out some more. And yeah, it's just about, we have a duet version also that we didn't release yet, but it's just about two people having a steamy affair in the stockyards and regretting it on Monday morning.
Oh, those regrets. Well, I just like so much of the verbiage that's in the song. The lyrics are so good. They're so spot on.
I thought the cowboy side of the I-35 was a good one.
Yes, that right there is that is very catchy and very true. I mean, that was.
And the part about driving the Longhorns by, I thought that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes. So when you're in your live shows, are you that type of storyteller, like in between songs? Like, what are your live shows like?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I play a lot of solo shows, and I also play a lot with my band. I tend to yak a little more when I'm playing solo shows. I mean, I still talk to the audience with the band, but more so in my solo shows. But yeah, I try to give people a little bit of context. Most of my songs are about my own life or a lot of family history. I have a real rogues gallery of ancestors to write about, so a lot of my songs are personal. So I try to give people a bit of perspective about what they're about or why I wrote them. Because it's hard to fit into 3 minutes, the whole backstory sometimes.
Right. And I think go ahead.
I was just going to say also, we've been doing this for so long that I don't use a set list anymore. Like I mentioned, we have 9 or 10 records of original material and we can play for 5 hours if we wanted to. But I've gotten kind of accustomed to sort of I just start the show and then I just sort of feel it out. And I have hand signals to tell the band what song we're playing next, like baseball. And so we don't ever use a set list and every show is different. So that's kind of, I sort of try to sense where the audience wants to go and follow them there and take them on a bit of a journey. That's, if you're at my show and you want to hear something, you got to yell it at me. Cause I mean, chances are I might play it or I might not. But.
Exactly. Well, that's good. That makes it exciting. Have you ever wondered how artists like Treaty Oak Revival, Red Clay Strays, and Aaron Watson maintain the high quality and high demand for their merchandise? CH Lindstar Promo is the answer. Created in Texas to serve Texas artists, and they're currently offering 15% off on all merch orders from musicians. Visit chlindstarpromo.com to get started and tell them Texas Toast sent you.
I was reading the other day that it takes at least $1 million to break an artist. That's a ton of change, and it can feel overwhelming. But with social media leveling the playing field, you just need an effective strategy to release your music. Check out Release Rocket to ensure your single does not die after release day. You've already put time, effort, and tons of money into writing and recording your album. Let the guys at Release Rocket keep your new release alive.
Something that I want to talk to you about, because I'm really into ancestry and stories of like some of mine. Also, your great grandfather's story that was kind of hinted to in the backstory on you.
The card cheat great grandfather?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He came out from Utah and homesteaded our ranch in 1902, I think, in Canada, in the Rocky Mountains. But he before that, when he was younger, he was a road gambler in Butte, Montana, in the 90s, 1890s. And Butte was a boom town then, all the copper, and there was all kind. It was a crazy town. But apparently, he was a bit of a card sharp. And I don't know. I thought it was just sort of a family folk tale, you know. But I have a friend in Montana who's a historian, and he found his name on the police blotter. So I guess it's true.
Too cool. I love it.
And
We're
then
heading there.
he was a bootlegger after that.
He was a wild one, wasn't he?
He was an entrepreneur.
He was just doing what they keeping up with the times back then, right?
He was providing public service.
Exactly. So we talked about your tour dates. Is there any particular shows that you have coming up that's like a big one for you that you're looking forward to?
Well, we always like playing Riley's. It's fun. Riley's is a bar in New Braunfels,
Yes.
and they've every time I go there, they show me, but they say they're the first official liquor license in Texas. Their liquor license is 0001.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's called Riley's in New Braunfels. It's pretty neat. It's an outdoor. It's very Texas. It's a.
Right.
It's like it's very Austin. It's like a backyard outdoor deal with barbecue. It's pretty cool.
Yes,
That's
familiar
always
with
fun.
it, but wasn't familiar about those liquor license. I like that.
Oh yeah, we're actually doing a bunch of California shows this tour, which is for some reason I don't know why we've played the heck out of the West over the years. We've never spent a whole lot of time in California, so we're doing a couple. I think 10 days all through California. So that'll be interesting, and lots of Colorado, which is feels like home to me. Colorado is a lot like Alberta, where I'm from, sort of, cattle and oil and don't like the federal government, that kind of thing.
I love it. We have another Canadian plate that's all in our Texas music. Do you know Zach Neal? Have you met Zach yet?
No, I know of him. I don't know him yet, though.
Yes, I'm sure y'all's paths will cross, and he's
Where's he
just
from? Do you know where he's from?
I'm not sure exactly what part of Canada. I can't remember. I know he's been on the podcast too times. He's a real good friend of mine. I mean, we've become really good friends, and but I don't know exactly where.
Yeah, I should look him up. I've never met him yet.
Yes, he has. He's good stuff. Good people too. So, well, before we wrap it up, let's kind of get on a personal side of you. Like, what are your interests outside of music? What do you do? Well, I know that you're pretty consumed with, I mean, if you look at your tour schedule, but things that are important to you outside of music.
Well, I ride when I can at home, but they make me fix fence when I get home off the road. But it's all the stuff that I did as a kid that was a pain in the butt now is I find kind of grounding. I guess if I was doing it for a living, it might not be quite so much fun. But yeah, it's good to put on some gloves and get dirty at home. And I play a lot of cards and I read a lot and take guitar lessons.
You take guitar lessons?
Yeah, I need to work on my guitar playing. I'm kind of a hack.
Really?
Well, there's always room for improvement, right? Like,
Always, that's for sure. There's always room for improvement. Okay, well, before we wrap things up, I have one last question to ask you. If you were a cocktail, what would you be?
I might be a Moscow Mule, I think.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, well, Corb, thanks for joining us on the podcast. We'll be following you, and hopefully we can catch up with you as your path comes to Texas, a brand new radio single out to Texas Radio. I Had It All, Corb Lund. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Take care.
Stick around to hear a little bit of post-interview conversation with Corb and Miss Helen about Matagorda and fishing.
Refresh me where Matagorda is. I
Okay,
know it's on the
so
coast.
it's on the Texas Gulf Coast, and pretty much we're in between Corpus and Galveston.
Okay, I was going to
And
say, are you south of Corpus?
north.
North of Corpus. Oh, right, and then Galveston. Okay, gotcha.
Yes,
Cool.
Galveston, like Port O'Connor is close to us. That like if you're coming from Corpus, you're gonna hit Port Aransas, Port O'Connor, Seadrift, Matagorda, and then moving over to Surfside and then Galveston.
Hayes told me that he sort of cut his teeth out in that area. I can't remember the little. I think the little town he was playing in doesn't exist anymore because of the hurricane 10 years ago. But he told me a lot of stories about shrimpers and stuff, offshore oil riggers and.
Yes, that's yeah, that's how we roll here. Yes, we have a big family that's a lifelong family that's shrimped here forever. And yes, we like to go out and hit those first rigs and get some snapper and troll for kingfish during the summer, and then we'll go way offshore. And then I like to bay. I bay and offshore, but yeah, I love it. I love it.
What did you say about the rig? You go to the oil rig to fish? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we go out to the rigs because it's a structure, so it holds a fish.
Oh, okay. Cool. Are they active oil rigs or?
No, no. And they've taken down so many, like they've just cut them down. Like they're gone. Like we have another fish, a species that we fish for called triple tail. And we used to have these buoys and just things just lined up. You just go one by one and try to pull you a triple tail out of there. And we went out to the West Bay, went out that way towards Port O'Connor, and like they're gone, just gone. Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's interesting. We have a lot of oil in Alberta too. So like my brother's he's a tool pusher. I know a lot of oil rigger guys, but some of those offshore guys that come to my, cause I have a song about called The Roughest Neck Around about oil rigger guys. And I get guys coming to my show in Corpus and that's a different breed. Those guys are rough people.
Yes, some of them can get pretty. Yeah, they're pretty rough. They're pretty like they're, salty.
They're good to us because I guess they like the music. But I would want to have them on my side, I think.
Yes, for sure, for sure. And they're hard workers. You know, they're out there for a long time away from their.
Yeah,
family.
That's a crazy job.
Yeah, we have some friends that work some of their rigs kind of out of the Galveston area. He gets on the helicopter out of Galveston and goes out to the rig. He's a sweet guy. He's not really rough around the edges, but yeah, he'll drop down and catch tuna while he's out there working, oh, really? Catching tuna at the same time. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yes. Good stuff.
Cool. Well, nice to meet you guys. We should
have kept the podcast going longer.